When a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, he hears it. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
That's right, kiddies. Time for a little fish talk here on Outdoor Journal. His name is Gord Peiser. We call him the Doc. He is award-winning columnist with the folks at Outdoor Canada. He is the fishing editor of that fine publication, Canada's only national coast-to-coast-to-coast magazine dealing with fishing, hunting, and all outdoor activities. Good morning, Gordy. How are you?
I'm doing good, Ange. How about you?
Good stuff, man. What a beautiful... I don't know about up there, but, man, is it a beautiful weekend shaping up here.
We sent that to you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
We were hot spot for Canada the entire week.
Oh, good stuff. I wrote an article not long ago, or maybe it hasn't been published yet. No, I don't think it's out yet. And I make reference to those people. And those people that I reference to are those pain in the butt anglers that are always on my boat and in my group, who could throw a line into a toilet bowl and come up with a trophy turd every time. And that is obviously you I'm talking about, okay?
I got lucky last Saturday.
Yeah, I guess so. 5.4-pound smallmouth on Lake of the Woods.
Which is really a rarity, Ange. That's like a 9-pounder in the St. Lawrence or Simcoe.
I know,
Shield Lake smallmouth. And the reality is, even in KBI, it's very rare to see a 4. 3.5s are 20 years old, 22, 24-year-old fish. So by far my biggest I've been here 44 years. And I did not think it was a smallmouth. We were coming along a point, and I thought, oh, my God, I got a 10-pound-plus walleye. And Liam had the net, and he goes, oh, it's a smallmouth. And we looked down, Ange, 5.4 pounds. It was amazing.
That's a huge fish, man. Huge.
For the North Country, it is.
You know, no, it's a huge fish, period, Gord. I mean, that is massive. Now, yes, if you've been blessed with the opportunity to fish the St. Lawrence River or Lake Simcoe, chances are at some point you've encountered a 5.5-pound fish. But even then, not many people do. I mean, it's like a 10-pound Florida bass, right? Everybody,
yeah.
You go to Florida and you're going to get a 10-pounder. It ain't happening.
No.
And this is the same with smallies. Anything over 5 pounds, doesn't matter where you are, north, south, central, it doesn't matter. That's a huge fish, my friend. Huge.
Yeah. And again, in the, you know, on a shield type lake, it is rarer than rare.
And
I was just lucky that it purely was. I was fishing a spot I had never fished before. We had been walleye fishing. We had great success on the walleye, and we pulled in and dropped the anchors for lunch on a beautiful little sand beach, and we just sat in the boat, Liam and I, and had lunch, and we said, well, let's go work some shorelines. And so I would like to say it was well planned, but there was a huge amount of luck in it as well.
Unbelievable. You wrote an interesting blog, speaking of the smallmouth, recently about identifying male and female northern smallmouth. So out of curiosity, was this a male or a female?
Yes, and that's actually why I wrote it. I would really encourage folks, outdoorcanada.ca. It actually went live yesterday. And one of the things that even more fascinated me about this fish, it was obviously not a female. It was a male. And smallmouth are one of the very, very few fish where the advantage goes to the male. In muskies, it's rare to see a male muskie over 40 inches. All of the world records, all of the trophy size fish are females, and that's the advantage in order to lay more eggs. There's only one way a fish can do that, and that's to grow bigger. But smallmouth protect, and they lay so few eggs. They only lay a few thousand eggs in a nest. And the reason they survive is that male will defend with his life. And so the advantage actually goes to the male in northern smallmouth.
I did not know that. See? Another
Mark Ridgway, Mark at the Harkness Research Lab, Dr. Ridgway, two biggest smallmouth he's ever seen, were both males.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible information.
Even in the spring, Ange, they will absorb water. They don't eat for the 6 weeks they're protecting the nest. For all intents and purposes, they starve for that 6 weeks, and their body absorbs water, and they swell so that they can look bigger and look more intimidating in order to ward off predators. And you and I have talked many, many times about spring fishing on the nest. When you understand these critters, it's just so many, you know, another reason why, if you ever see them nesting, do not throw at them.
Get away from them, absolutely. Gordy, thank you very much, my friend, for more wonderful information. If folks want to read more on Gordy, go to outdoorcanada.ca, go to Ontario Tourism travel sites, go to fishingcanada.com, and he's got his own blog section there. You can't miss him. He's everywhere. Gordy, have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, Ange. Take care.
Gord Peiser, the doc from Outdoor Canada Magazine. Check him out. That's it, Mikey. See, you did it. No problem. You're cool. No, yeah, all that sweating was for naught. On behalf of the entire ODJ radio team, Michael Mooring, Derek Brandeo, Sarah Pollock, I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. Get outside, but be safe. Talk to you next Saturday.